Everybody, welcome back to FFC. Week 5 is in the books, guys. What can we say? We got some bad news. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. We got some bad news. I think about 3 players worth of bad news. But we do got good news. You know, we got some guys that came in and saved the day like Superman. All right, so we got our heroes we got to talk about. We got our busts we got to talk about. And we got to talk about some added players to coach's couch. But it seems that it's on a limited basis. But man, worst time of the season, right? It's like a quarter of football is gone. And so I have to play, right? And then to end our show today, coach got something pretty deep he want to talk about as it pertains to the ending of the UN game. But we'll get to that and a little bit of a story Coach has for that situation when that time comes. But to start off our show, let's get right into it. We got a lot of fantasy that happened, and we got some people that weren't happy. I tell you, Bear, man, you took a crappy loss, bro. So at my job, Maxwell's, the pizza joint that I work at, they have a fantasy league. Now, Coach didn't join. Coach is just there for moral support and great fantasy advice, all right? I helped Danny. I helped Gus. Helped Bear. Because, whoever I work with, they all ask me different advices. They trade between each other. So, they're all in the same league. And they're not all bunched around me at the same time asking me, different advices, questions. I think the only one who hasn't asked me, take that back. He asked me tidbits, but I think he's doing well, Lance. One of the managers, I think he's doing pretty good on his own. But even Danny, who's 5-0, I think now, dude still comes to coach, asking coach about trades, asking coach about what it is. They have what they want to do. They just ask the coach if it's a good idea. Jose, too. Everybody be laughing at Jose. Everybody mad. I think when Jose tried to get Raheem Mostert, if he did get him, that was a great job. I can't remember if he got him or not. Because I think he wanted Mostert and Moss. Hey, Chango. Why was that a bad trade? You see what I'm saying? Like, you can't knock a man for the hustle they're trying to do in fantasy. They're trying to make things happen. They record ain't where they want it to be. They see some moves they got to make. Bam. And then look what happened. The gates that opened up. Because for the next 4 weeks, right, before A-Chain come back, Mostert can just go off for whoever has him. And about Moss, if you started Jonathan Taylor thinking that Jonathan Taylor was going to get in the end zone even once, season, even if they gave him a contract, even if they're not going to trade him, they decide they're going to go ahead and keep him. Bruh, they're not going to do nothing for a minute. It's going to be about another couple of weeks before he actually turns it up. So, Moss owners are still okay. They're not taking the ball out of Moss's hands, bro. I'm telling you. He's put in too much viable work. He's one of the reasons they have the record that they have and are potentially winning. So far for Anthony Richardson, that was such an ugly hit. We'll get to that when we talk to them, when we get them boys comfortable on coach's couch. But as we do every week, let's start off with them boys that just pissed us off. Yeah, we got some key player duds for week 5. Nico Collins, what happened, bro? 3 receptions for 39 yards. Oh man, I think the Texans lost this game. Didn't see that coming either. What happened? It's just, I think, don't get me wrong. You know, Nico Collins, who has put in 4 weeks of work. Yeah, you're a dud this week, but you a dud. I'm gonna look at you and be like, I'm still putting you in it. You've earned every right to be a starter each and every week. So just. That I think that little situation will be fixed. Now, don't get me wrong. We're going to see a couple more Nico Collins games like this, but Nico Collins might be good for a good 1,200-yard season this year. I think he's okay, all right? Evan Engram, again, he's a dud. He's one of our fantasy busts this week, but we're okay with that. A 6-point game from Evan Engram in week 5, I'm really okay with. It's the Jags got the win out there in London, their home team, their home game there. Okay, really don't know how to Bills lost. I think it was just because I think they traveled shorter. I think for the simple fact that the Jags were already there, they got to go travel, jet lag. There's a lot of reasons, not even football related, that the Bills lost this game to the Jags. It's fine. But is Evan Engram a start next week? Absolutely. He has garnered starting points every week outside of this one. And honestly, 6 points at a tight end position. Are you really upset? He had 4 targets. I just wish the 28 yards was a little bit more, but you can't be mad. He got the targets. That's why he's certain things, you're like, and that's all you got to do. You know what I mean? You don't got to boosie the man. You got to come on him. But, you know, we got a couple, though. But Tyron Williams, you another one, bro. You all right. You a bust this week. It's okay. You did not look good. Hopefully that doesn't continue. Like, hopefully this isn't the decline for you. I don't think so. I think with the work you've put in all week, you know, all 4 weeks, you're another one that came in a little on the low end on week 5. It happens. Again, I did say defenses do come in a little bit tougher in week 5. So, bam, here we are. And I missed one. James Cook, another one. You had -4. I don't know what happened to you. I don't know. Again, you another one. You are the runner. You've been running really well for 4 weeks. And your guy, I think next week I'm still safe to play. But Jesus, -4 rushing yards? How that happened, bro? But there is one fantasy bust I am worried about. AJ, yeah. Any of you other Eagles fans out there? Yeah. Well, Devontae Smith, you had 1 reception for 6 yards. Now, don't get me wrong. I think who else had some crap like that? There's another receiver there. Oh, Devontae Adams. He had that for like 3 quarters before anything else happened. So it happens. But here's my little worry about this. That little blow up, little crybaby Andy AJ Brown had on the sideline. Yeah, I think he done took all the targets, man. I think he did. This is supposed to be Smitty's year. I'll be honest with y'all. I don't think we're getting it. We 5 weeks in, and Smitty ain't put up the numbers yet, except for one time. And that is because AJ Brown put in the work. Now, granted, I still think Smitty's taking on a double team. But granted, the targets got to go somewhere, and they're going to AJ because of that reason. And as we see, I feel like until Jalen Hurst is putting up 300 to 400 yards a game, Devontae Smith ain't going to. That's my worry, because that's the connection. He throws for 193, 212, but it's all 150 something of that to who? AJ Brown, right? They haven't found a way to throw the ball more. And until they do that, it's gonna look a little skimmish for Schmitty. I think the target is going to AJ right now. So Schmitty, not only were you a bust this week, these staggering numbers of 1.6 points a game may continue due to the fact that the targets are going to AJ Brown. The ball got to go somewhere, right? And as we see, we've been putting in the work, AJ Brown. And it's not that Schmitty's not putting in the work. It's just the fact that that's where the ball is going. I mean, ball is going into the trajectory direction of AJ Brown. It is what it is. Now, for our fantasy heroes. Don't get me wrong. Everybody got some points. But these specific 5, just, they ate. They tore it up. They were the reason why you are leading in fantasy. You won in fantasy. They're the reason why you won by a point. They're the reason why. I wish Kittle was on here. Bear was supposed to win. Bear had that game down pat. And let me tell you something. San Francisco, that was not supposed to be no doggone George Kittle game. How on earth, Cowboys defense, did you allow Kittle to get exposed and he's open so much? Like, what? It's not the fact that Kittle had work. He scored, what, 3 times? Like, come on. And the funny thing was, that's all Buddha needed. Buddha had one player left. Buddha was losing. Do you understand what I'm telling you? His one player was George Kittle. What? How? And it's the fact that it's not that he won when the game ended. Nah, he won off that second beautiful touchdown off George Kittle. That was game right there. Now Buddha's just sitting at the table waiting for the rest of his parlay to hit after he won fantasy out of nowhere. That's what I love about fantasy football. You would think in a game that has Ayuk, Debo, hit Purdy, who can run it a little, and Christian McCaffrey, you would think George Kittle. Hey, yeah, hey, look here. The defense left him exposed. They left him open. They left him open. What are we supposed to do? What was he supposed to do? They left him wide open. Catch the ball, right? Yo, George Kittle had a beautiful game. So, some heroes. Let's start it off with the Thursday night game out of that game. I wonder. Hey, look. As for the late, great Nick Buckus, that game went that way. Justin Fields, the numbers are ugly. 15 for 20, that's ugly. Okay. The fact that you got 282 was 230 because of T.J. Moore. But either side of that, you didn't turn the ball over. Best part about that game was you didn't turn the ball over. You had four touchdowns. You had 33 points in fantasy football. You were a hero that week in week five. Zach Moss, hey, I told you, I sat here and said, play Zach Moss. Why would you sit him? There was no reason just because Jonathan Taylor came off the pub list and went to practice. He was ready to play football. Zach Moss, 165 rushing yards, two touchdowns, and he caught two for 30. I will tell you when to start Jonathan Taylor. Listen to coach. How about that? Just stay with coach. Why would you do that to yourself? You just got happy off a name. And then y'all saw that contract and said, nope, here you go, Zach Moss. The man that's been running the ball for the last 4 weeks. I don't even know what to say to y'all. I don't know. For anybody that put Jonathan Taylor in that football game, I have nothing to say to you. It's almost like you slapped coach in the face when I specifically said, play Zach Moss. I said that, didn't I? I said Jonathan Taylor can run for 90 yards, but he ain't getting in the end zone. I said that. Okay. Well, I guess coach talked to the air because half of y'all don't want to listen. The air agrees because it feels good when it breathes on me when I'm right, ain't it? All right, Travis Etienne, hey, good game. 136 rushing yards, two touchdowns, four receptions for 48. Good job, 36 yards, 36 points of fantasy. And the great DJ Moore, eight receptions for 230 yards and three touchdowns. I mean, gosh, two of those should have been picks. Should have been as in, like the way the ball went, anywhere you would see on another football game there, he deflected the pick. And somehow that ball said, no, I'm going this way, and we're going to run that way. It was beautiful. It was fate. It was supposed to happen. Sorry, Washington. Sorry, Jadeveon Clowney can't get tackles for you. I mean, Chase Young, you know, they were just, one's just lighter than the other. I mean, you put them side by side. What's the difference? One lineman can handle them both. Anyway, Jamar Chase, the hero, Mr. I'm always open. I ain't going to say his second line. I'm going to get fined. Let me tell you something. This man said, I'm always open. Quarterback said, I bet. Let's see. 15 catches. I don't even know how many times he was targeted. I ain't even going to go look at them numbers. He had 15 catches for coming out and saying, I'm always open. This is the same guy who came out his rookie year in preseason, couldn't catch a ball, and everybody got scared, called he had the yips. I think you people understand what chemistry means. Catching a ball, there's more to it than just putting your damn hands up and catch. It's so much more. There's so much that has vision has entails to it. knowing your surroundings, knowing where on the hashtag mark you are, where are you going? Are you going to catch it on the backside? Are you catching it in front? It's just so many things that go into catching the football. Okay. And for him to come out and say, I'm always open. Everybody's always open. How many times have we heard that? I mean, Chase Claypool said, I'm a top three wide receiver. Everybody come out and claim something, don't they? Fools look like gold till they look like trash, don't they? He came out and caught 15. 15 for, I ain't. 15 for, like, not tracking all these balls. Where you going? No. My man came out. Should go run and get my son jersey because he asked it for Christmas. He got it last year. He loved his Chase jersey. This man had 15 catches for 192 yards and 3 touchdowns. Diggity. That's 52 points right there. Now I see why DJ only got 49. He missed a couple of receptions. But see, Chase went ahead and took care of that. Showed y'all boys what I'm always open really looked like. Huh? What? Don't get me wrong. If I'm not mistaken, Jettis had he had a 15 catch game too. I'm not taking nothing away on that. But man, to come out with a statement that you did like that, kind of probably pissed off your quarterback, and he probably came out and tried to air you out, and you aired him out, and y'all just aired each other out, and y'all just dropped a big bomb and win like that. And y'all said, all right, we got this. Think the Bengals are back. Hopefully his leg is okay. Again, that linebacker. Running back. Hey, buddy, look. If anybody looked at Burrow and said, oh, how dare he, or he could have handled that situation better, no the hell he couldn't. Okay? I don't give a damn who you are. Brady did it. People did it. You got young boys on that field acting like they don't know what's going on. Hey, look here. You almost got that man's leg killed because you don't know the play, because you're not paying attention. Hey, we ain't got time for that. Hey. Come on, get the game, bro. Huh? Hey, he hit his chest, my bad. Yep, it sure is. You can't, you got to know what you're doing. Hey, look, I understand. If you can't handle the heat, get out in the kitchen. You don't think Coach Finn get yelled at in the kitchen? I mess around and then send out some halfway cooked, undercooked. Come on, bro. You gotta pay attention to what you're doing. You gotta focus at what you're doing. You will get somebody else tore up because you're not doing your job. Pay attention. Man. That man legs can't take the kind of his, bro. He's sensitive down low. Okay? Jeez, Burrow dangly down there, okay? He's damn near like eyeball the boneless down there. Leave his legs alone. Protect them legs, bro. Man. All right, let's see. Let's check out some more fantasy boys. Top quarterbacks outside of Justin Fields, we have Desmond Ridder, who actually had a good game, 329 yards, 1 touchdown, 10 rushes for a touchdown. Jalen Hurts, I don't know if that's going to continue. We'll see. It was a really good game. Jalen Hurts, 25 for 38, 303 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception, 72 rushing yards for a touchdown, for 27 points. Jared Goff, 20 for 28. Can I tell y'all something? Who got Jared Goff? Vaughn? He going to keep starting him. And I think Vaughn going to keep starting Jared Goff to show y'all how well he know his damn football. Because who thought Jared Goff wasn't going to come out and do this? I haven't heard the Jared Goff slander during the offseason. Heard it. Didn't say much. Get it? I've talked about Jared Goff too. I just talked more about how he got exposed about getting it. Because Belichick's spooked his ass, almost kind of like a Daniel Jones spook. But hey, I tell you what, this is one great offensive line that is protecting him. He got to worry about getting here. He got to worry about getting the ball out, and that is exactly what he is doing. 20 for 28, 236 yards and 3 touchdowns. And I think it's like he had another rushing touchdown. So he had 4 touchdowns on the day. Good job, Jared Goff, for 27 points. And Josh Allen, 27 for 40, 359 for 2 touchdowns and a pick. Josh Allen turnover, 14 rushes for a touchdown, 27 points for Josh Allen, and a loss against Jacksonville Jaguars. All right, that was your quarterbacks. Our running backs outside of Travis Etienne and Zach Moss, we have Bruce Hall, for 177 rushing yards and a touchdown for 3 receptions, 17 for 28 points. These Jets, they're fighting. I like it. I do. All right. Devon Achane, 151 rushing yards, 1 touchdown, 1 reception for 14 yards. Fumble, but he had 21 points in fantasy. David Montgomery, 109 rushing yards, 1 touchdown, 2 receptions for 20 for 20 points. Hey, I tell y'all, David Montgomery ain't going anywhere. He is not going anywhere. All right, our wide receivers outside of Jamar Chase and DJ Moore. Tyreek Hill, doing it again. 8 receptions, 181 yards, and a touch, 32 points. Adam Thielen, just hate that he's so staggering. But here we go, 11 receptions, 107 yards, and a touchdown. And George Pickens, 16 rushing yards, 6 receptions for 130 yards, and a touchdown for 26 points. All right, and let's see our tight ends. George Kittle, he did. So, Bear, it's not only the fact that you had the game won and you only had one player left. His one player was George Kittle, who had 3 receptions. 3. So you can average that 3 because he had 67 yards. So around 15 yards a catch. No. 60, right? 20 yards a catch. About 21 yards a catch. Let's say it right there. All right? Big chunks of yards. Dallas defense. But on each of those catches, he had 3 touchdowns. He had a touchdown for every catch he had, bro. That's how you lost in fantasy, by 27, because George Kittle just smacked 27 points out of nowhere. The one man who should have only had 1 point had 27 and just destroyed you. That's fantasy football. You're going to take them L's. It sucks. Dallas Goedert, what a game. 8 receptions for 117 yards and a touchdown. That's amazing, right? Not amazing. And then because he's taking on double as a touchdown. It's like he's taking the double team and it's hurting him. I don't know. It's not good, bro. That's really not good. It's supposed to go the other way around. But everybody else eating. I don't know. Travis Kelce, 10 receptions for 67 for a touch. 22 points of fantasy. And a scary injury. Hopefully he's okay. I think they said he's day-to-day. He practiced limited today, so he should be good. He should be okay for this weekend. But they may limit him. They're going to need another receiver. They need help. Devontae Adams is begging for somebody to call. Logan Thomas, 9 receptions for 77 yards, 1 touchdown, and 1 fumble for 20 points in a loss against the Chicago Bears. Sam Laporta, 3 receptions for 47 yards and 2 touchdowns for 19 points. Even with the light work, Buddy is in that end zone, guys. Sam Laporta. Sam freaking Laporta. I'm glad that call was the right one. All right, defenses. Saints defense, 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions, 1 fumble recovery, 2 sacks. 0 points against for a total of 22 points and the leaders of fantasy in defense. Jets defense had 1 touchdown, 3 fumble recoveries, 4 sacks, 1 safety, 21 points against with a total of 18 points. 49ers, 3 interceptions. Sorry, Dak. 1 fumble recovery, 4 sacks. Ooh, Dak. I think maybe only 2 or 3. Maybe 1 was the backup if they took you out. 10 points against. Wait, all right. I thought I saw an alert. I'm sorry about that. All right. So 18 points for the 49ers defense. Bengals defense, 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions, 1 fumble recovery, 3 sacks, 20 points against, 17 points for fantasy. And the Steelers defense, 1 interception, 2 fumble recoveries, 4 sacks, 1 safety, 1 block, 10 points against for a total of 17 points. Here is the kicker to this defense is this week. In week 5, I told you guys defenses were going to come out very strong. 3 of them had touchdowns. Saints, Jets, and Bengals. Side of that, Saints, 2 interceptions. Jets, 3 interceptions. 49ers, 3 interceptions. Bengals, 2 interceptions. Steelers, 1 interception. Check another good stat. 1 fumble recovery for the Saints. 3 fumble recoveries for the Jets. 1 fumble recovery for the 49ers. 1 fumble recovery for the Bengals. 2 fumble recoveries for the Steelers. Check this out. 2 sacks for the Saints, 4 sacks for the Jets, 4 sacks for the 49ers, 3 sacks for the Bengals, 4 sacks for the Steelers. And this is the one that gets me. And I love and I'm so proud to see. 1 safety for the Jets. 1 safety for the Steelers. The fact that, and 1 safety, yeah, I said Jets, yeah. The fact that they were even able to add safety points onto that defense and that's in the special team. Like, defenses came out to play hard this week, and those are your top five right there. Very, very impressive. Let's see. And kickers. Greg Zuerlein, 4 for 4. That's beautiful to see. For the Jets, a 39-yarder, a 40 to a 49-yarder. He kicked 2 of those. No, he had 2 extra points. So he had a total of 18 points. Cario Santos, even in all that Bears victory, he was 3 for 3, a 39-yarder. He was over 139-yarder. He had was 1 for 1 for a 40 to 49-yarder. And he had 4 extra points for 17 points. Kyamie Fairbairn, who I keep telling y'all to start, 2 for 2, 39 yards, 2 for 2, 40 yards, and an extra point for 15. Blake Group, I'm kind of starting to like Blake Group. He's uppy and downy, but I think they're finding a groove to get him some nice, get him in when they're in scoring range with the Saints. So he's 2 for 2, 50 plus. All right, and he had 4 extra points. Matt Gay, 12 points. Group had 14. Matt Gay with 12 points. He was 2 for 2 for 39, 1 for 40 to 49, and he had 2 extra points. So some good kicking, some really, really, really good kicking. And I do like the one specific stat, 4 for 4, 3 for 3, 2 for 2, 2 for 2, 2 for 2, i.e. they're making all their field goals, okay? All right, so now that we have that, let me make sure I don't have anything else before we get into Coach's Couch. That is it for our fantasy numbers, our fantasy updates to players, and our busts and heroes. And now it is time to get into what we call the ugliness of fantasy football. And where are you at? Here we go. No, you are not the stat I was looking for. All right, here we go. Here we go. James Conner. Placed on injury reserve, keeping him out for 4 weeks. James Conner. You have a part-time place on Coach's Couch. Welcome. Enjoy. Get healthy. Work hard. Get back on the field. All right? That is going to be a blow for the Cardinals. He's been one of the, like, the best thing they've had right now. So yeah, that's going to be a pretty big blow. I don't know much about the backup. So I will get my research done and I will have information for him out tomorrow on tomorrow's show. Justin Jefferson, ooh, that is a big blow for any fantasy owner right now. But he will be out for 4 weeks dealing with that hamstring. Sorry, guys. It happens. You've been putting in a lot of work. So you better hope that rookie can do it. And I'm pretty sure everybody's clamoring for the rookie, and I'm pretty sure everybody's clamoring for KJ Osborne, which, by the way, please do. There's nothing outside of just Jefferson. You got to get them, too. Hopefully you got both. But Justin Jefferson, Jettas, come on. Fly on over here to the couch, all right? Get comfortable. You got 4 weeks. Get that leg, get that hamstring healthy. Get back out on the football field. And one of the biggest blows for the next 4 weeks, and this is how ugly it's going to be for him, Devon Achane has been placed on injury reserve. He will be missed 4 weeks, and the Dolphins' bye week is 10, so expect him back by week 11. So that, yeah. Half the season's going to be gone. This beautiful rookie is out. However, Raheem Mostert owners, get right back to work, people. Devon Achane, get on to the couch. It's going to be fun having you over here. Get to talk to you a little bit. Get to know you. Pick your brain. See how things have been working for you with this Dolphins offense. It's been looking pretty good. But these three wonderful players who have been just tearing it up in fantasy, Devon Achane, Justin Jefferson, and James Conner, come on to the couch, boys. Sorry. going to be a rough 4 weeks for some fantasy owners. It's going to be rough. Oh, Daddy! I don't know if it got vetoed. Crap, I don't know if it got vetoed, but Danny traded Patrick Mahomes, I think, for Justin Jefferson. If the trade did not get vetoed. Oh, man, I got to check when. Hopefully he comes by the store today. Find out. Dang, that's going to suck. Ah, all right, so fantasy leaders by position. No, that's old. Yep, there we go. We have Josh Allen and Kirk Cousins tied at number one. Number one and number two. Justin Fields is number three for the week. Jalen Hurts, number four. Tua Tagovailoa, five. Patrick Mahomes, six. Russell Wilson, seven. Brock Purdy, eight. Jared Goff, nine. Justin Jefferson, 10. Jordan Love, 11. And Lamar Jackson, 12. I believe a couple of these didn't even play, so that's why I'm really not going to. Those numbers kind of are iffy. It's really more so about, for me, the where is it? There we go. Me, it's really more so about the. It's fine. That's fine. You didn't play, you drop. That's just natural. It's about the, you know, because it's about the numbers. All right. Wide receivers, you have Tyreek Hill, Stephon Diggs, DJ Moore, Puka Nacua, Justin Jefferson at five, Jamar Chase, Keenan Allen, AJ Brown, Devontae Adams at nine. Adam Thielen at 10, Nico Collins 11, and Gabe Davis at 12. All right, running backs, Christian McCaffrey 1, Raheem Mostert 2, Devon Achane 3, Travis Etienne 4, Tyron Williams 5, Zach Moss 6, David Montgomery 7, Bijan Robinson 8, DeAndre Swift 9, Kenneth Walker 10, Brian Robinson 12, Brian Robinson 11, and Josh Jacobs at 12. Sam Laporta at one for tight ends. Travis Kelce has dropped to two. Cole Clement has risen to three. Mark Andrews, four. TJ Hockenson, five. George Kittle, six. Evan Ingram, seven. Hunter Henry, eight. Logan Thomas, nine. Dallas Goedert, 10. Dalton Schultz, 12. Dalton Schultz, 11. And Darren Waller, 12. And good luck, John. I think he took a bad loss, but he likes the fact that his team is rough. He's taken some really bad losses ever since. Oh, he lost Chubb. His roster just got worse after that. Like him losing players, unfortunately. The big pickup was picking up Dalton Schultz for the Texans, so he got him, I think, 20 points. He still lost, but just to see that a good tight end pickup for future purposes and weeks, that's good sight to see. But I think his team is just it's getting crushed. All right, kickers: Jake Elliott at one. Tyme Fairbairn at two, Nick Folk at three, Brandon Aubrey at four, Brent Maher five, Tyler Bass six, Harrison Buckner seven, Jake Moody eight, Matt Gay nine, Blake Group 10, Chris Boswell 11, Eddie Pinero 12. And last but not least, defenses: Cowboys at one, Bills at two, Steelers at three, Saints at four, Ravens at five, Seahawks at six, Lions seven, 49ers 8, Eagles 9, Bucks 10, Bengals 11, and Jets are at 12. If you wonder why the 49ers is greater, they are now in the 8, it's because they're not putting up like 30, 28 points in fantasy. You know, you can still score. We only score like 10, and it's those 10 points that keep them from having high fantasy numbers. They're just winning games and keeping you from scoring. That's what they're worried about. All right. They're trying to get to the Super Bowl as quickly as possible. Letting the clock run, beating you up, and ending the game. All right, so we've had a great show today. We've had some good topics. We went through our fantasy bus. We went through our fantasy heroes. We added some players to coach's couch via IR, so they'll be joining us for the next 4 weeks. We've discussed a little bit of Jonathan Taylor situation with Zach Moss, and I will let you all know when the Jonathan Taylor situation will improve. Coach, I got you guys. You just gotta bear with it, and there was no reason for you all to have him in the game thinking he was going to do much, all right? But to end Coach's show today, I had a really big problem with the ending of that UM game. Like a really big problem. Kind of sad problem. I get that it wasn't a fumble. It really sucked that throughout the review, they never showed the front side where the ball was stripped away. So the player's elbow was down. When they showed it after the fact, wow. When they showed the right camera view in the front after the fact, it just didn't matter anymore because they already made the call that it stands. It was a fumble, which it wasn't. Here's the part that bothers me. Shouldn't there have been in that situation in the first place? We had 32 seconds left on the clock. I don't care what you say. You can lie to the media, coach, all you want, and say, see, you're the worst excuse you could ever have as a football coach is you didn't know what time. You didn't know the time on the clock. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. See, I know that run you ran. That's a design run. I know exactly what you did. And you tried to run it down their throat. And you tried to basically finish the game that way. You didn't want to take the knee. You didn't want to take the respectable one. I think you were already a little agitated and pissed off by the way that game went as it was and the bad calls you guys were already getting. And I think you tried to rub one in on them. I really did. I think you did. I don't care what you say. I'm seeing crappy coaching like that many times. I've stood on the opposite side of it as a coach myself. But as a coach myself, coach has a story real quick. So I coached this team called the Zion ZBs. Larry Hughes was the head coach. And my cousin, Angie, she had called me and said, hey, the coach needs help. I know I told him you coach when you were in Texas. This is when I was living in Illinois. And, I wonder if you want to come down, come down, talk to him, check out the team, stuff like that. And I had just gotten off work. I was working at the VA. I'm working in Milwaukee, VA, matter of fact. I live in Illinois. It just drove about an hour to get home. And I get the call. So I ain't even changed my clothes. I went to go see him. I'm that guy. Yeah, of course. Let's go see. Let's go check this out. So I'm talking to him, let him know I'm a defense coordinator. He let me know that he runs a 5-3 defense. And I don't like that. But you telling me that for a reason. So I'm going to see what I can do with it. Basically, I told him I'm a defense coordinator. I'm not an assistant. I'm a coordinator. You give me what you want. I will design every play I can to make us a successful defense. All right? And throughout our weeks and our seasons, throughout the season, he was really impressed with what, because it was supposed to be four coaches, me, him, and two other guys. They were college kids. But they only showed up on Saturday. They didn't show up during the week of practices. So it was just me and coach at practice. So it was me and him with, 23 kids, 28 kids, something like that. A lot of work to do. So we split it. Basically, he always took the skilled players, i.e. quarterback, receivers, running backs, secondary, guys like that. I took the line. If you were a defensive line, if you were offensive line, you were with coach. All right? And then throughout, we put everything together. And we worked on, when you were with coach, we worked on the duck walk and staying upright with a good firm stance. We worked on silent counts. We worked on snap counts. We worked at the sled. We worked on properly engaging because coach was the person you had to engage with. Coach either made you eat dirt or hit on that tailbone. Okay. I made you cry, not in a bad way. I made them tears come out of embarrassment in front of your parents because you didn't like the way you were getting hit. Yeah, I was teaching you certain. And trust me. It worked because I never got penalized for being offsides. The team never got penalized. I never had that crap with lineman coming up to me telling me, coach, he's holding me. You better find a way to push his hands off you. What you want me to do? I'm on the sideline, pimp. See, that's what the duck walk is for. That's what all that engagement training is for. To teach my players how to deal with that crap and not have to come to the sideline, come telling me and whining to me about something I have no control over. I can teach you how to stop that crap. But if you can't take it away from him, buddy, you're gonna come up off you. What you mean? I gotta put somebody in there that they let somebody hold him. What you mean? Okay. So long story short, we ran our defense. We were the number one defense in the Chicagoland area for this football league. I ran the 5-3 perfectly. Perfectly. And we had a playoff game. All right. Now, the one thing this coach allowed me to do was take control, i.e., he was a coach. He's an offensive-minded coach. And before me, you know, he ain't never deferred on a kickoff. I never knew that. Somebody came to me and told me that. And I asked him about it one day. We were having our little powwow, me and him. And I asked him about it. And he said, yeah, I never deferred before you. I said, really? No, I trust you. And then why is that? Because, well, I mean, I told him I like deferring. I like my defense to go on the field first. I like that because I like for the defense to set the tone. Like, period. I don't want offense to set the tone. I want offense to piggyback off the defense. Meaning that energy, that, oh my God, did they just literally get on the field and just shut it down? Yeah, we did. Now get out there and go score. That is the energy I want. Okay. Now go score. And then the defense don't play passive off of that score. They are. I don't know why. I've just always seen it happen where they get more passive if offense scores first. If the defense is the reason offense scores, that defense momentum stays the entire game because they set the tone. Go ask the 49ers. Go ask the dang on Texans right now. Can't be they lost. Texans right now who are setting the tone with defense. You set the tone on defense, you win the game. No matter how rough it looks, you set the tone on defense. Because with that tone you set in the beginning, no matter what happens throughout the game, it's going to be the tone setter, meaning it's going to be the reason why you win in the end. Okay? So, we were always a deferred team, meaning my defense got on that field first. No yards allowed. That was the motto. Remember one time, to piggyback off another story before we get back on track, because I screamed, what's the motto? No yards. What's the motto? No yards. That's what we screamed. No yards was allowed on my defense. You understand me? That was what I preached. That is what I wanted them to attain. That's the type of defense I wanted them to be. Why can't they strive to be that great? Because they were. They were the number one defense in the Chicagoland area. Okay? Now, we had a 20-yard run on defense one time. I don't know where I can't remember where the hole was, but yeah, just for a 20. And I didn't say nothing. I think we were pretty well into the season. You know, where coach really ain't got to say much no more where the mistakes are. I'm going to allow my defense to fix it. And immediately after the tackle, I didn't say anything. I just looked at the team, run it back. I went the same attack because I didn't like what I saw initially. Maybe somebody did something slow. Let's do it again because they shouldn't have got that 20-yard gas on this specific attack. Said, run it back. Coach, don't look at me. He stays because he's over there talking to the boys on offense, getting them ready. I'm controlling my defense on the field. He does not interfere with me. That's the most beautiful thing I loved about Coach Larry and about Coach Beard when I was with the Fort Hood Warriors. We got a lot of other stories for that time. But them coaches left me alone. Hell, Coach Beard said he can't wait to do it with me on a collegiate level. He want me in the box. He don't want me down low. He want me in the box. I see things different. But anyway, my defense got up, and I heard my linebacker immediately, hey, what's the goal? The entire defense, no yards. It's the motto, no yards. They got lined up. Boom, fumble. Thank you. Oh, yeah, my defense got the ball back. Jeez. You thought that 20-yard gas meant something? Somewhere on my defense, somebody was asleep. 20-yard gas. They woke up. Fumble. Let's go. Offense on the field. That is the tone we set. We average 2-3 fumbles a game. We average the 2 picks a game because we put you in positions to put the ball where we want it. I'm a very aggressive coach. I am. I like to hide holes. I like to There's something beautiful I saw in the 49ers defense to get off topic real quick, and this is it's just what I do. Like there wasn't a hole in sight. Every pass you throw had to be perfect. Don't get me wrong, Dak threw some good throws and they connected. First down. Anything outside of perfection, the 49ers were in your face. They're taking it away. Taking it away three times. There was nowhere for you to really throw the ball. It just got bad after a while. That's all that happened. And that's how we did it. I didn't give you anything. Anything. Because why? Well, I coached. Never mind. I'm not. I don't want to give you too much of my mind unless you coach with me. Then I can break this stuff down to you. But anyway, we won that game 38-6. I had to let the other team score because, unfortunately, in this ugly league, if you score 40 points on the opposing team, the head coach has to pay a $200 fine. So I had to take out my entire defense, put in the second string, and pay, like, everybody's like 5-10 yards off the ball. Basically, we had to let them kind of, like, walk the ball in. It was kind of embarrassing. I hate that because what are you teaching the other team? Like, I get it. They're getting smacked, but that's not their fault. That's their coach's fault. They don't know how to coach. Ain't our fault. I hated the rule. I hated it. Unfortunately, it was one of them things. I wish I had the money to pay every week, but I didn't. I'm broke. I ain't that kind of guy. I ain't got that kind of funds. So, yeah, you get the score on them. Okay. Yeah. Every team that scored on us. And that's why it was like a crazy stat. Like, we allow only 3.3 points a game. It's because if we put up over 30 points and it was still like 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter, we basically had to let that other team score. If we were 26 points in the third, fourth quarter, no, we played regular defense. We kept it going. And if we scored again, we just made sure we didn't go over the, you know, we didn't go over that last touchdown that we ended up scoring again. Hell, one game we won 26-0. That was all off special teams. All special teams. It was all off punt returns. Not one point was scored off a touchdown that game. I think we had one defensive touchdown. It was weird. It was so weird. But anyway, back to the original story. We're in a playoff game, and it's 0-0, and we're in the second quarter, and we haven't scored yet. We're at the 50-yard line, and I look at the clock. Ding. What did I just say? Looked at the clock. We had, I want to say, either 2 minutes and 30 seconds left, or we had 3:05, something close. We had less than 4 minutes. I do know that. And the reason why I was specific about what was going on in that time, and I looked at the clock, and I pay attention to the clock. I'm a clock guy. It was fourth down. He was gonna basically go for it. Here's what I didn't want. If we go for it and don't get it, we leave that team around the 50-yard line, like 45-yard line, right? Not that my defense is going to let them score, but I don't like my defense's back so close to the end zone. You feel me? That's too close. Anything can happen. You feel me? A busted coverage, a slip pad, a slip covering, and then dude wide open on a bootleg, ugly throw. No, I don't want none of that, okay? I said, Coach, don't do that. Punt the ball. I said, with the time we got left, let Jerry, who was our quarterback, my cousin. So my cousin is her son, my little cousin, basically. Jerry was our quarterback, and he was our punter. And he was our, like, third-string safety. He wanted to play first. He was great safety, but he was our quarterback. So, no, buddy, you can't start a safety. No, he wanted to be on my defense so bad. Because we got so many turnovers. We got so many interceptions. It was fun. So I said, no, Coach, don't do that. Let Jerry punt the ball. Because Jerry when I say he was a good punter, I've watched him many times punt from the 50. Even at practice, in games, if he punts from the 50, he actually can put it down by the 5, okay? He's a really great punter. Because he's very athletic. So I said, no, and Coach understood that. He knew exactly what I meant. Because immediately when I said that, he looked at the clock, he called the timeout, because I think the clock was running, and so that way he could put the punt team on. So that was one of our 3 timeouts that we used, all right? He put the punt team out there. Jerry punts the ball. We get it down to 3-4 yard line, right? Now, I told my defense specifically, no aggression. Just go out there, play base defense. I don't want any aggression. Don't let them cross the line of scrimmage. Snuff the line of scrimmage because I put them in the 6-2. There's no need to be in the 5-3. Nope, I need more meat on the line. They're not passing the football. They're not dropping their quarterback into the end zone in Little League football. Do you understand what I'm telling you? They're not going to risk that kind of ignorance. They're going to run the ball. I'm going to snuff it out, period. I don't want them in the backfield, but I don't want them crossing the line of scrimmage. We practice this all the time. Just get to the line and get the tackle. Now, when I say that I want them in the backfield, the tackle will be in the backfield. They're going to use a yard or two. What I didn't want is too much aggression and you all getting in the backfield and an ugly penalty, like, you know, helmet to helmet because somebody too low, you know, just so I don't want nothing ignorant. All I want is the play stunt. We had enough time because they punted to us and we now have a chance because we have a great special team to literally score on the special team or get as close as we can so we can score on offense, finally, right? Boom. That's exactly what happens. It's fourth down. They're now punting because now their punter is in the damn end zone. They punt it. We receive it at the 45 or 30-yard line. We got it down to the 10. One play, passing play, into the end zone, touchdown. We're up 7-0 at halftime. And I think we won the game 19-0. Or it's 18 to something. It was something like that. When I don't even think we put up 20. It was a playoff game. It was tough. But it worked. Because why? I paid attention to the clock. So, coach, at the UM, for you to come out and your statement be, you didn't know the time on the clock, I'm calling BS. It's you, the defensive coordinator, your offensive coordinator, their staff, i.e. assistant coaches, the special teams coach. You have the line coach. You have players. You have water boys. You have the stick movers. You actually have somebody on your staff that's supposed to pay attention to the clock. You knew exactly how much time you had left. You ran the ball, and you almost got it. But he got tripped up, got tackled, and then he fumbled. But he didn't fumble, because that wasn't a fumble to me. His elbow was down. But embarrassingly enough, it ended up becoming a fumble. And on the very next play, that shows me more about your coaching staff. Because what baffled me on defense, so I don't care if he's the third string safety. I don't care if he's the eighth string safety. I don't care if he's the fourth red shirt safety. You telling me nobody taught that kid on 7 second plays when the clock has nothing but 10 seconds left. You don't bite. Everything is caught up front. You telling me? I'm not blaming that kid. Nope. Lucky player or not. You telling me with all that coaching staff, he should have, first of all, he shouldn't have been put in that position. Why? Because you should have took a knee with 32 seconds up on the clock and won the game. But you didn't. Weird. And now it's left up to this so-called safety. And you telling me he didn't know? Nope. I'm not buying none of that. Hey, real talk, this might be a really bad sign for this Miami organization. I don't like his direction. That was crap. You had to know there was 32 seconds left. You had to. With the game that close, you had to know, bro. You had to know. Like, you tried to win the game the ignorant way. That's what you tried to do. And you lost for it. You lost. And if I'm any form of leadership above you, yeah, another stupid loss is going to be your job. But it don't matter. Miami's not going to be good now. This game was supposed to lead up to a great game against Clemson, and that game against Clemson that they win would have had them top five. And now they will be no more than top 15 because of this loss. You screwed your own team. Look, there's certain things that are just unwarranted. And that was it. That was uncalled for. That was a stupid decision. You as a head coach should have definitely known better. I'm not going to sit here and call for your job. Because I'm not in a position to take it. I've done my research, and I see what it takes to become a college head coach. And I've watched this city of Miami have a lot of glorified $8 million coaches live in the city and watch these wonderful players take crap heat for the bad coaching. There's a lot of studs out here between the Ghouls, Little Haiti, Ilea, Boca Raton, Homestead, Cutler Bay, Bayside, buddy. It's a lot of talent. It's a lot of talent. And see, I'm at the age now where it works for me. See, I don't deal with these stupid bowl or these stupid vote games anymore that only allow Alabama and LSU be in the national championship game. Nope. And ironically, I don't even have to be in the air where, you know, we only get four. Nope. Have your fun. I'm almost done with my education. At 39 years old, I'm almost done with my, I know, I'm late. I'm almost done. See, I have a lot of things that I want to do. And now I'm chefing it. Because I'm chefing it while I'm degreeing it. But I have one goal that's going to make my wife very happy. And she's asked me to do it many times. I think she has a connector too. But we'll neither here nor there. No connection for me is ever needed. Because I am that damn good when it comes to coaching the sport, football. I'm that good when it comes to developing any player in any sport, via soccer, via basketball. I don't care what it is. If you want me to teach you, I can show you. I can even make you the best at it. I am that passionate when it comes to sports. I'm that passionate when it comes to coaching, when it comes to teaching, when it comes to guiding, when it comes to mentoring. That's me. That's who I am, period. Nothing else, nothing short of that. I will lose sleep to make sure everybody else is better than me. I need my master's degree. I'm getting that. And this city will suffer no more. Oh, yeah, because when I become the new UM coach here in the foreseeable future, I'm not losing that job. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to stay at UM and produce the best football players the world has ever seen from this little island of Miami, Florida. So everybody beware. Be scared. This ain't a warning. This ain't a threat. This is a doggone promise. I'm going to show you people what real football looks like, and I have a team to do it with, and I'm going to love it. Because these beasts out here, they're not being treated properly. They're used for what they are. No more. I'm coming, Miami, because I'm already here. I'm already centered. I had to turn down one head coaching job, and it broke my heart. It was Little League. And it was the head coaching job I've been fighting for. And I had to turn it down. Why? Because those young men do not need a man without an education. Because how am I going to lead them to one? They might not get me now, and that is okay. They'll get me soon because I'm almost done. God, I got an internship with Disney. Coach out here making moves, okay? I'm out here about to go chef as a culinary assistant at Walt Disney World for the 4 months, January through May. So trust me when I tell you this college life is for me, and I'm almost done. In Miami, you're going to get a real coach. I don't care how far at the bottom I got to start. It doesn't matter. My presence will push me to the top, and what I do push me to the top, and my motto will push me to the top, because there will be no yards allowed on this Miami defense when I take over. This is not hearsay. This is a guarantee, because I know how great I am. I know what kind of person I am. I have the resume, everything that I want to do in my life. I'm missing one component, a degree. And when I get this degree, when I'm walked on the stage, they ask me, what's your next thing? I'm going to be a head coach of the Miami Hurricane. You damn right. I'm going to shout it till it happens. And I'm going to prove myself until it happens. Because I am tired of this organization not winning. I really am. You can see the talent. So why is the talent not number one talent? Like, what is holding them back? The coaching staff. The people that just want to be there because they look good in Miami Beach. I'm not here for that. I'm not. I'm here for more, and I'm here for a long time. So I'm coming for the Hurricanes job. I am. No disrespect, not at all. Not at all. But I will have all requirements necessary for the position. Even if I start low, no matter where I start, I'm going to climb. And I will be there every turn that of a winning organization because coach is there. I'm sorry. I feel like anybody else deserves it because they haven't done anything. There's no way this team should look like. You people do not know what is farmed here, do you? Not apples. There's savages here. They got real monsters growing in this city. And they're not being coached right. They're not. Some of these people are just there because they look good being a coach of Little League. Because these cool jerseys. That's all these people are here for. But see, when I come and shut all that down and have all y'all perspective changed about what football really looks like. Yeah, I'm bringing Texas football down to Miami soil. It's going to look so nasty. But it's going to be deserving because these boys deserve every bit of what I got coming. Every bit of it. So, coach's last words was a bit long, but it was for a really good reason. I love football, man, and I love producing. I love finding ways to elevate players. Even if they're great, I want to find a way to make you greater. What? You ain't dead yet? Why keep settling? Why not find ways to be even more spectacular? That's me. I'm that kind of coach. I want to pull out every inch I can. Then I'm going to go in and I'll find more. You pulled that out, didn't you? That's just the way I am. So, I know it's going to be a minute. I'm just now getting done with my, I'll be doing my associates here soon. But what I love about the city of Miami, I get to be a dual enrollment when I go and transfer to hopefully FIU for my bachelor's because I can work on both my bachelor's and my master's at the same time. I'm only going to take, the classes I can take. But basically, I can take where I'm taking bachelor classes, I can fit in master's classes with that. That I love because that allows me to get done faster. So I mean this with sincerity. Hold on, Miami. Because these great athletes that you all produce, they're not going anywhere. These people still live here. They're not going anywhere. I get that some of them are being wasted right now. And those are the ones I'm gonna feel sorry for, but we're gonna do it for them. We're gonna do it for the ones that nobody else cares for. You know, y'all don't care. Y'all don't care. I can watch every single UM game, and y'all don't care. Y'all care about what they can do, and that's it. Their abilities. You can see it, man, and I'm tired of that. They have more to them than ability. You pull out more than their ability, they're going to take their ability 10 times fold because they're more than that now. But if you just keep them in that ability bubble, this is all you're going to get. And these are the results you come up with just ability. Outside of that, guys, Coach had a great show. I hope you guys enjoyed it as well. Be back tomorrow. We have Thursday. We have our any fantasy news updates that we have to update you guys about. But more importantly, just getting ready for week 6, Thursday night game. And Friday show, we come back and talk about anything pertaining to injuries, who should or should not possibly come off, depending on the Friday injury report, and basically getting ourselves ready for some week six football. It's going to be an ugly week. I do believe so. Coach might be off on some players this week because week six is ugly. It's always been an ugly week. It's just that week. It's just like, ooh. Like, I might be wrong about my pick tomorrow night. I've been good for the last couple of weeks, but we all know coach on Thursday night game, we do not do good when it comes to predicting. And usually when I don't predict right on Thursday, that kind of trickles down into those weekends. But yeah, that kind of turns out. But other than that, it's going to be a great week of week six. I hope you guys are ready. I'm ready. I hope we got some, with these injuries as well, tomorrow I'll have some sleepers, some waiver wire nuggets, guys, you should be looking at. Because there should be some move-ups with these big three injuries for the next 4 weeks. And trust me, there's going to be some more. It's the NFL, buddy. We all get injured. Ain't a week going by with somebody not getting injured. Sorry. The good thing is I don't think this week was any season-ending injuries. They were just all public, so IR injuries. So I think those three are just the only ones we have to worry about. But other than that, guys, I love you. Thanks for watching. Continue to subscribe. Continue sending us out to other people. Again, if you got questions for Coach, hit me up on Instagram or Twitter at OTF Podcast MIA. That is OTF Podcast MIA. That is my handle on Twitter and Instagram. I will see you guys tomorrow, and stay safe. Coach is out.
Thank you for staying to the end. If you're watching this on YouTube, please like this video, subscribe, and also hit that notification button so you can be notified next time we put out a video. If you're listening on any podcast platform, subscribe and hit that notification button, y'all, so you can be notified we put out another podcast audio. And last but not least, hit that share button. No matter what you're listening to or watching it, hit that share button and send it to somebody that you know that would love to watch this episode you just listened to. So once again, thank you for staying to the end, and we'll see y'all in the next episode.